Welcome to the Amateur MILF Society, a podcast about the highs and lows of mothering in the modern age. We're your hosts, Rosie and Sinead, and we are
Just trying.
Join us on a journey from positive pregnancy tests through to school and beyond as we try to untangle all those complicated thoughts and feelings that come when you decide to push a baby out of your vagina. Other birthing methods are available. We are average non-famous mums who live average non-famous lives, although if we get famous, we're not complaining. And maybe we'll get ourselves a really fancy kind of female-led recording studio, get ourselves like a lovely kind of beautiful guest who's like super successful and like an amazing lady. Oh, wait, hang on. That is what's actually happening right now, isn't it, Sinead?
It really is.
It actually is what's happening right now.
You know what? We've gone up in the world, Rosie.
I feel like I'm in Made in Chelsea. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, by comparison to where we were before in the podcast cupboard.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
This is
elite.
The luxury is unparalleled.
This is like the McLaren of recording studios.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? So, for context, guys, we're in a really nice recording studio.
Which is owned and run by a woman for women, or for all people that feel unsafe in male...
Around idiots.
Yeah, around idiots, aka men.
Yes, 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 yes.
So it's a safe space, a really cool, nice space where we were actually treated like royalty. Someone actually set up the sound for us to sound good.
Someone plugged our microphone in and then made sure it was all working perfectly.
And like did really some foot stampies on the floor.
Yeah, it was amazing. So the business is called...
Noisy Girls.
Noisy Girls. So big shout out to Noisy Girls. We'll be bigging up Noisy Girls quite a lot in the future, I imagine.
Definitely.
And then the other thing that I mentioned is that maybe we'd like have a guest and maybe we'd like interview someone who's really fabulous.
And maybe she'd be really
amazing.
Cool and really successful.
And yeah, and she'd be like the best guest ever, and like she wouldn't interrupt us in our introduction moments, you know what I mean? Like that sort of thing. Would you like to make a noise, Connie?
It's been hard. So many times I've wanted to interject here, guys.
But, and you've just been nodding.
Yeah,
like
it's
been.
Yeah, I've been like, no, don't say
no.
I've let you do it.
We'd love to welcome Connie from Take On Media to the podcast. Hello. Connie, would you like to tell us a bit about yourself?
I'm Connie. How you doing? I've got Take On Media, which is my media, social media, and photo video business. And yeah, I'm a girl that you probably see down the street and think, bloody hell, what's going on in her life? Why does she look like that? I get people pointing at me quite a lot. I'm that girl. I'm Marmite and I run a pretty exciting business.
You have made yourself sound like Quasimodo.
I know. I was just about to say I really love Marmite.
I love Marmite.
I love Marmite.
Ah, there you go. That's how I will get on.
I know what you mean, Connie. Like in the we're all kind of extravagant dressers. We all like look a little bit like alternative. But I think you've got this idea in your head that people are like pointing and laughing at you, going, "Look at that thing!
Look at the circus clown walking down the street."
When in reality, you look like a fucking superstar.
Okay, but you guys live in Leicester, right?
Yeah.
I live in Melton Mowbray.
Oh,
which
so people point and laugh at you.
They actually do. I've actually had an old man, because the demographic is old people, just generally old.
Sounds great.
And I've literally had an old man point at me and say, "You're an attention seeker, aren't you?"
Oh, wow.
So this is why I love going to Leicester. I go to Leicester and I don't actually stick out.
There are weirder people than you around.
There are. Oh, and yeah. It's fantastic.
Like that bloke that carries pigeons around in his pockets.
I'm sorry, what?
Have you not seen the pigeon man?
Feed the birds.
The birds are back.
No.
He wears this old, I think he's homeless, he wears this old like anorak thing.
It's not the yoga man, is it, that does yoga in Town Hall Square?
I've got
the
no
one with
idea.
The limp that looks up at the sky?
He might have a limp.
With a backpack.
But he has this parka that I've seen him produce a pigeon out of the pocket of the coat.
Has he got like grey curly hair?
He's got grey hair.
I wonder if it's the same guy or if there's just two mentals in Leicester.
There are far more than two mentals in Leicester.
I think I love him.
Yeah,
maybe he's looking after the pigeons.
Maybe. You know what's really sad about pigeons, though, is we domesticated them and then we decided that they were like
dirty
vermin of the sky.
Yeah.
And then we just left them.
Left them to
And the pigeons, yearn for domestication.
They don't know that any different, do they? They're like, I'll come for your crisps, sure.
And it's so sad.
It is sad.
Again, this is the difference between Melton and Leicester. So Melton, they're fine and quite majestic. They're idiots, but they look clean and they're happy and fat. You go to any kind of city, they're dishevelled.
I've seen a pigeon with no legs before.
Oh, God, that's really dark, isn't it? That's really dark.
It's really sad.
Oh, God.
That makes me very sad.
That does make me sad. Shall we move on?
Yeah, I think so.
So, Connie, it's really lovely to have you here. We're going to ask you loads and loads of questions.
Excellent.
But the first question is, of course, most important format point, which is, what is your week in a sentence?
Okay, my week in a sentence is there anyone behind me because I want the abuse?
What? Sorry, you are on the Amateur MILF Society podcast. What are you talking about?
So I wanted that. I wanted that reaction.
Please
because...
don't beg for one crumb of context.
Yes, you can have the context. The context is I was doing a reel.
Yeah.
And the whole reel was about confidence. And that's something in my ethos. I love to make people more confident on camera and through their social media. So this reel was me standing in the street with a tripod, with Katie filming me as well as the tripod. And it was in the middle of Nottingham. And I just said to her before we started filming, is the street busy? And she was like, no, it's quite dead. And I was like, right, we're going to wait for it to be busy. She went, why? And I went, well, I want the abuse. And she was like, what? I was like, well, if somebody comes up to me and starts, you know, saying like, oh, TikTok person or whatever, then I'm just going to be like, yeah, and I love it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I wanted that. So I waited for a busy, you know, a busy street, and I had lots of people looking. So I'm excited to edit it and zoom into the frowns and the, you know, just those faces of like, what is she doing? Because that was the whole purpose.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I do so like that.
Why
bring
not?
Bring it on. Bring it on.
Yeah, that is, that's the thing.
Of... Let's see what you've got, Nottingham.
Yeah.
This has just reminded me of yesterday I saw on Instagram. Have you seen this New York Dublin vortex?
What?
So they've set up, they've called it a vortex, right? And it's basically a massive screen in the middle of New York, and it's got a camera live feed to Dublin.
Okay.
And vice versa, so you can look at each
oh
other and you can wave
God.
To each other. And basically this whole reel was just about how Dublin have just fucked it because it's just got loads of Irish people holding up the word wanker. They're all drunk. They're all just like staring into the camera. Just like, putting their fingers up.
This makes
like, yeah.
me feel really proud of my people.
Right? Isn't it? I mean, of all the places in the world, it's like New York, sure, that's a good... Where shall we put it?
No, but...
Where shall we put
that,
it?
It makes perfect sense because there's loads of Irish people in New York.
That's true. Yeah, they could just try and fight each other through the vortex, couldn't they?
And I'm surprised that that has not happened.
Yeah. Right? But what you've just described there is kind of that. It's that kind of like... Yeah, I'm on camera, I'm what?
Yeah, it's a
Watch
social
me.
Experiment
yeah.
of, you know, humankind, basically.
Yeah.
And how the complete change of social media, I mean, the internet anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, did you know, right, when the World Wide Web was invented and they started testing it out...
You know, if there's one thing we love on the Amateur Mill Society... It's fun facts.
Fun facts. Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay.
So here for this.
This is a good one, and I always think about this. So there's a newspaper article that says, the World Wide Web, I don't think it will catch on. And I just...
Love it.
And yeah, I just think about that pretty much every day. I'm just like, wow, the world has completely changed. So yeah, I kind of love... I love it and I hate it. But
you know,
it's not my love and loathe.
That we need to have.
Oh, yeah.
The Amateur Mill Society... I don't think it'll
don't
catch
think
on.
Don't think it'll catch on. I like that. Yeah,
yeah.
That's the new merch. Make a note of that.
Yeah,
that's really cool. I like that. It's like one of the things I really struggle with is the idea of like taking selfies of myself or just kind of documenting things that I'm doing when I'm on my own. And through watching young people just do it as their daily life, because it's something they've grown up with. You know, I see schoolgirls walking past my house, taking pictures of themselves, posting videos of themselves, or doing their makeup in their phones, and it's normal. So for me to feel weird about taking a photo of myself when I'm out and about, that's my problem, not anyone else's.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what you're sort of saying, is it's like, this isn't your problem. I'm filming something in the street, I have every right to. The rest of you can fuck off.
Yeah, basically. You know? So in Nottingham, whilst I was doing that reel, there was another person doing a reel behind me. And when we walked into the place that we shot the content, there were two girls. One of them was posing, and the other one, bless her, was giving her pointers on how to pose next to a telephone box.
Cute.
And I literally shouted out to her, "You look fantastic."
Yeah.
Like, did you do a bus driver nod?
No, my thing is a chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss.
I was like,
chef's kiss.
You look brilliant.
Chef's kiss. I love, do you know what? If there's something I sort of secretly love, it's that kind of, it's the busman, the bus driver nod.
Taxi drivers do it too.
Taxi driver nod. Did you know motorbikes do it as well?
No.
So motorcyclists do it. And I used to drive a moped, and I remember just feeling so much joy when a motorcyclist nodded his head at me. And I was like, I'm just on a moped, but I will take it. Like, I felt like part of the club. So yeah, there's the motorcyclist one, because my dad does it and Dave does it. It's like the nod, you do it with the helmet. But I've also noticed supermarket drivers do it. I have seen, on a road that is about 3 seconds away from where we're currently sitting, I saw a man driving an Asda truck nod to a man driving a Tesco truck. They cross-contaminate.
It's like World War II. Yeah.
You know what that is?
Christmas Day, we're going to put it aside.
That's it.
We're friends, actually. We're not against each other.
The armistice of supermarkets.
I love it. I mean,
I'm not being funny, but isn't it also the nod when you walk past someone awkwardly that you went to school with back 20 years ago?
The nod that you do when you walk past someone whose kid is like screaming.
Yeah.
In public.
And you do that kind of smile to be like, you're right, mate, I've got you.
Yeah. I know this feeling.
Okay. My week in a sentence. Sorry, we're being very, very strict today, aren't we? Because we are yappers. By nature. So my week in a sentence is, having small children has made any interest in seeing a once-in-a-lifetime natural phenomena completely void. I did not make any effort at all to get up out of my bed between the hours of 10 and 2 over the last 2 days to look at the Northern Lights.
Neither did I.
Did you? Did you look out of your window and think, I might be able to see one of the wonders of the world with my naked eye in this country,
in Leicester,
where there are always clouds? You have two chances of a lifetime, unless you want to go to Iceland and spend loads of money, to see the Northern Lights. Did either of you get out of your bed and check?
I mean, I'm a photographer, so I went straight out with the tripod, with the camera.
Did you get some pictures?
I did, but annoyingly, I live on like a terraced house street, so it's very built up, and I was like, shall we wake up the kids, get in the car, drive to Borough Hill? But it only lasted half an hour. So it was like...
Yeah, but you still got half an hour of Borealis.
I did.
I got none. I didn't care.
Do you know why I didn't do that, Rosie?
Why's that?
Because I could see pictures of it on Instagram.
Yeah, the pictures on Instagram were pretty good, weren't they?
Yeah.
And it was quite obviously like in the UK, which was quite nice. It's like, oh yeah, now I've seen it now. Also, didn't realise until last night, and it was actually the night before that most people saw it, is that you would do have to look through a camera to see it properly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So my sister-in-law, she was like, I was a right dickhead. I was sticking my head out the window at midnight. Couldn't see anything. Didn't realise you had to look through the lens of a phone.
That's really annoying. Right? That feels like a rip-off.
That's a cheat, isn't it? Cheat Borealis.
So
the cheat Borealis.
My husband was like, oh, I think it's gone. And I took my last photo and I was like, it's not.
It's not, mate.
It's not. The whole sky is still
green. Your fancy camera. Oh, no, wait. It's mine. My fancy camera. You don't get to look.
I think I say that to everyone pretty much.
You don't touch my fancy camera.
My fancy camera. I will look at Aurora Borealis. Thank you.
Do you remember that time where I said to you, oh, will you take some photos of me and Katie? She was like, yeah.
I took a lovely seat and I did not touch that camera once. She went, do you mind taking it? I would love it if you could get some content of the two of us. And then within 30 seconds of me sitting down next to the camera, she gone, oh, hang on, actually, I've got a thing where if I press a button, a laser appears out of some kind of bunker and it will take the photos for me. and they're clicking away, and I was just sat there going, "Do you want me to? No, no,
no.
Do you want me to press? No,
don't
no,
you
no, no.
touch it.
Don't touch my.
Get away."
This is what I mean by technology should be able to take some jobs.
Yes. Yeah. But not others.
Like, yeah. It can take the job of the friend that's not really a photographer taking the pictures for you. That's fine. But it shouldn't be writing our stories and drawing our art.
Writing our scripts. Writing our scripts. Yeah. All that business. Yeah, you're right. That's a very good statement to make. Very good political statement to make based on the fact that Connie didn't want me to touch her camera.
Yeah, thanks, Sinead. That was a good one.
It's a good turnaround. What's your week in a sentence, Sinead?
Do human beings photosynthesize?
Yes.
What is photosynthesis again? That's the one.
It's how
it's the green stuff, right?
Plants
take energy from the sun to grow.
It's how they eat.
Oh, then
isn't it?
Then I would say yes, because I think I do.
Yeah, because
I get all my energy
from
the sun.
I am a new person since the sun's come out, and I'm not even like I'm not a summer bitch. Like, as soon as it gets too hot, I'm the first one to go. Might be a bit too hot.
Bring on winter.
And do you know what? I'm the bitch that's like, do not complain about it being too hot.
Yeah.
I remember being on holiday in Spain with my family and it was like 38 degrees. And they were like, this is too hot. And I was like, then don't come to fucking Spain then. How dare you? We are on holiday in Spain and it is August and you are complaining about it being too hot. How dare you?
The second the first bead of sweat manifests itself on my forehead, I'm like, no, too hot.
Too hot for me.
It's my top lip.
Yeah.
I'm like,
oh my
right.
God, the sweat stash.
Yeah.
Always, and it messes your makeup. You can't dab it because then you can see the
but
like watermarks.
Yeah.
When you're on holiday, like, I can tolerate any heat when I'm on holiday because I can just get in the pool.
Oh, the pool.
That's the difference, isn't it? That's the difference.
Or the sea.
The pool or the sea.
And when I'm in England, because the hot in England is different to the hot
Everyone
abroad.
Says it's totally different.
Disgusting.
Hot. I think it's more of a lifestyle thing, though, isn't it? It's not that the hot is different. It's not that the hot is different.
We don't have AC.
We don't have air conditioning. We're working. Mm. We're having to do everything for us. We have to cook for ourselves.
No siesta.
No siesta.
Capitalism rife.
Ugh.
And also no pool and sea. You go abroad, pool, sea,
air conditioning.
Out.
Less capitalism.
Someone's bringing your cocktail of the day on tap. In fact, a waiter might even buy your cigarettes for you if you're asking nicely enough. Fuego, Ricardo? We won't go there. Another time. But yeah, it's like, that's why it's a different hot, because you are having to be...
Also, you have to wear clothes.
And you have to wear clothes, because typically in Spain you can be completely nude all of the time, can't you?
Yeah.
Actually, you probably can.
Yeah.
But going back to the photosynthesis thing, my eldest daughter has actually just been told... We had bloods and everything, because she's been ill for, like, I mean, forever, really, it seems. But we've just been told that she's got vitamin D deficiency. So, all of her symptoms, I was like, oh my God, what's wrong with her? You know, you get this horrific worry being a mum and just like, oh God, you know, it's what if that's me?
You know,
you hear the horrible stories.
You?
Yeah. I mean, she had a bloody heart scan and here's me oh my God. Yeah, absolute freaking out. But then, no, she just needs the sun. So I was like, thank God. And, you know, then the sun came. It was like perfect timing. So she's doing a lot. And it's pretty much like instant. We've been given her vitamins and she's been going out in the sunshine. And yeah, so I think that yes.
We do photosynthesize. Yeah.
Because I feel like this is the first time I've felt that life is worth living for about 6 months.
Yeah, I feel
since we went on holiday and we came back and it was fucking raining.
And it's not stopped raining
until
last week. And last Friday, it rained all day. And then it's been sunshiny ever since.
Last Friday, I sat on the floor in my bedroom listening to the rain pound on the skylight. And I remember just thinking to myself, what if this never stops?
Yeah.
I mean, I do love that. Do you know what? I'm perfect in England because I love all weather and we do get all weather. I'm fine in the cold. I love a blanket, mate. Give me a blanket.
I
love a blanket. And then autumn, gorgeous. I just love it. Love autumn. I love that sunny but cold days.
Sunny frosty.
That is my favourite day.
Autumn is just gorgeous.
Yeah.
Spring, lambs. Oh, I'm just like, I just never moan about the weather. My husband moans all the time. He literally said, bring back winter yesterday. And I was like, just shut up.
Get him in the bin. No,
honestly.
No, no.
He's
not
such a cancer. He's such a cancer star sign.
I thought you
were an actual cancer.
He is a cancer
to my life.
my partner's a cancer too.
He is a tumour on my life.
He really isn't. Just for the record, Johnny,
the record.
I love you.
They're wonderful. We need them, don't we? We need cancers.
Oh,
we absolutely need them.
I'm a Virgo and I need that cancer in my life.
I think that
as a Sagittarius, what do I need?
I can tell
to
you
get away from me.
I can tell you what you don't need, Sinead. And it is not going to be recorded on this podcast. We'll do that afterwards. I've got a very long list of things you don't need.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
I don't know.
So
what sign is it? Is it
fire?
Fire.
It's the archer, isn't it?
Yeah, fire sign.
Fire sign. So you need, I think Cancer would work for you as well. They say, because I'm Aries, I'm a very strong Aries, and they say that Aries and Cancer don't mix very well because they're such opposites. But actually, I think for me and David, it works perfectly. I really like that oppositeness of us.
My dad was an Aries, and I love an Aries. Every time people go, I'm an Aries, I'm like, I love you. But my dad and Johnny got on so well. But he was like a very, tough bloke kind of thing. So sometimes it was a bit of a clash because Johnny is just the most, bless it, just, hates football, does the cooking,
That's what Dave's like. But actually, I think, because my dad's like a blokey bloke. And I think actually, even though it's never been spoken out loud, I think actually my dad really respects Dave for not being like that.
Mm.
There's like a respect there of just like, you do you.
Yeah.
You don't need to be laddish to prove yourself around me. Fine.
And the thing is, my dad just thought Johnny was a lovely bloke.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing about cancers is that they're just so nice.
So nice and selfless.
Yeah.
And,
just caring.
Sometimes they care a bit too much. So Dave can really like worry about certain little things. And I'll be like, it's fine, don't worry. It'll be like, he's lost sleep over the smallest thing.
Yeah.
And you have to be like, mate, rein it in.
Calm, it's okay.
Even though I've been like, throwing things around for the last week over like, the fact that he bought the wrong salt. You know what I mean? And then he'll be like, genuinely worried about a legitimate thing. Like he was worried about the weight of our van. What if it weighs too much and we can't rent it out? And I was like, it'll be fine, Dave, don't worry about it. Stop worrying, what's
wrong
with you?
Chill, chill.
Shut up, Dave.
Johnny gets... I was like, can you make sure you get the right salt this time actually, Dave? Jesus.
Johnny gets furious and I have to, he's very hot headed. But if it's anything to do with me and the girls, if he feels like someone's wronged us or something, he just flips his lid. And I can be very much like, okay, I mean, I'm a Virgo, so I strategize everything. I'm like, we're going to do this and this and, and he's very much bull in a china shop, guns blazing, you know, how dare,
so
all of
loyal.
That. So protective and loyal. Yeah, we do love them. We need them.
So after that tangent about star signs, shall we crack on with asking you some questions, Connie?
So bring it on.
Connie
has
come on the podcast to talk about her business and being an entrepreneur and also a mum and how she balances all that out. And we're not going to use the word mumpreneur on this podcast because that is for wankers.
Disgusting.
I've never ever categorised myself as a mumpreneur, and I think it's because
you're not a wanker, Rosie.
Thank you. I really feel that because like I've never really until you just said it then, I didn't realise how furious that word made me.
Yeah, it's
I've
horrendous.
I've actually got heart palpitations because it's made me so mad. Anyway, go.
So, to kick off, Connie, do you want to tell us a bit about your family setup? So what's going on?
Family setup is me working non-stop. Johnny, my husband, got married last year. We've been together 12 years. He is my stay-at-home rock butler, which he'll hate me saying, but he just is. He's just, if I need... Do you know what? If I didn't have Johnny, I wouldn't eat or drink or anything. So he is, honestly, the rock of the family. And then I've got my two... I know I'm biased, but oh my God, my children are, I'm blessed. I'm a very lucky.
That could have gone two ways there, Connie. I thought, at the end of that, they are just awful. just so rotten to the core. I know I'm biased, but they are terrible. Awful set of girls I've got, Jesus.
I mean, you know, they have the moments, but no, on the whole, they are, yeah, blessed. Hashtag blessed. No, I hate
stop
that.
Stop it.
No, I hate that.
And I'm hashtag blessed.
Cut that out. Cut.
And how old are your girls?
So my eldest, Luna, she is 10 years old and a Capricorn, by the way. And
was a Capricorn.
And Poppy, she is 8, 9 in November, and she is a Scorpio.
Ooh.
And yeah, they're completely different. Luna's, she asked if she could go on Britain's Got Talent. She is just,
wow.
The confidence is crazy. I'm all here for it. Love it. Don't know where she's got it from. And then the youngest is just a cherub. Just, yeah, cheeky little cherub. And she loves running, and I honestly do not have a clue where she's got that
from.
What,
like running, just going running?
Yeah, like, wow. We'll go to my in-laws, and they live on a close, and she'll just go, can I go for a run? And we're like, all right then. And we'll just stand there, and she just runs around the close. Like, you know, multiple times. And sometimes she'll be like, I want to beat my record, I'm going to go round again. I'm like, what? Who is this child?
Where does she come from?
Yeah.
She's 8.
Oh, she's been doing that years. Just running around the close. So yeah, she is a bit of an adrenaline junkie. She's got, you know, she loves that dopamine.
She likes that feeling.
Yeah, she loves a mystery bag. Do you know what I mean?
She loves a mystery bag.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, anything, any toy.
That's a really good question for any human, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you love a mystery bag?
Do you get a dopamine hit from a mystery bag? I hate mystery bags. Never.
I hate mystery bags.
I do. What a waste of money.
No, thanks.
If you get a duplicate, I'm fuming.
You're absolutely,
do you know what I mean?
Curious.
But no, she gets a dopamine hit. So, yeah, that's my... Oh, and I've got a little chihuahua.
Oh yeah.
He is 8 years old, so I got him at the most ridiculous time of my life. But I always say he's the best purchase I've ever made. He's a chihuahua, and people think chihuahuas are horrible, but he is... I mean, you could do anything to him, bless him. He wouldn't hurt a fly.
Aww.
He's just the cutest little thing. And on, you know, Google Street View... So I live in a terrace house, like a bay window, and he sits on the cuddle sofa on the top, like just sunbathing. And on Google Street View, he's
embracing his Mexican roots.
He is, yeah. And I
love that.
He's just a distinguished gentleman, and I adore him. So I'm a very lucky girl in my household with my setup.
If there are any artists out there that have some spare time, so not me, I feel like there would be a nice exhibition to be made out of Street View pictures of dogs in windows. How cute would that be?
Oh, I love
that.
That
would be cute.
Dogs in windows from Street View.
Dogs in windows.
Dogs in windows. Okay, next question, Connie. What is your business and how does it work?
Okay, so we are Take On Media. I am a professional photographer, did it at college. And I think when social media kind of went video-based, I mean, to be fair, I've been vlogging embarrassing, cringy, horrible videos of me as a child.
Did you do MySpace vlogs?
And stuff God, like yeah. Oh, yeah, funny. All of it. I did a whole vlog on how to make a cup of tea because I'm a great tea maker, and I just thought it was very important. So, yeah, I've been doing that, you know, since I was young, and I was like, yeah, let's give this a go. And do you know what? I don't know. It's very difficult to say which one I prefer, but I just love making videos and reels. I just love it because I get to incorporate music and it's very creative and stuff as well. So, yeah, love that. So, so I make reels, love that. Graphics, always been a bit arty. And also social media stuff. So I coach and I manage as well. So in my coaching, I love that because I get to motivate people and make people feel a lot less lost with social media, because a lot of people get a bit stressed over it. And I'm here to be their, you know, guide, I suppose. Mm. And then management is, you know, for the businesses that just want people to take over. They haven't got the time. They don't have a clue what they're doing. And they just want somebody that knows what they're doing to just take it off of them. So there's a few different sides. I get booked for just photography, just videography. But I've now got the lovely Katie that helps me with my social media clients as well, because I get a lot of those ad hoc photography, videography jobs where, you know, a lot of my time is editing. So I needed Katie. But it was always, the idea when I started was always to get someone quite quickly to come and help me, because I struggle with staying on track. I think creative people are kind of in the clouds a bit, aren't they? So,
thanks for looking at me when you said that. Self-confess.
Do you think that you you do your best work when you can collaborate and do, you know, work with other people?
Collaboration is my favourite thing to do. Absolutely love. Yeah, when Katie is due to have her day at work, I am absolutely buzzing. And when she's not, we are both sad. And we still talk every single day. We absolutely just adore each other. But yeah, business terms, I always get really excited with a variety of industries. Because people always say, like, what kind of thing do you do? And I think if you look at my grid, it's very much events at the moment, because I'm a fun person and I like to capture people having fun. But if somebody turned around to me and, you know, I mean, I had a big client proposal, you know, there's a prospect going on at the moment, which is a completely different industry, but it's something that I've really wanted to do. But I'll do it all. I just think variety is the spice of life, isn't it? And that's what life is for, just in experiencing as much as you can.
Yeah.
With this time that we have, and that's what I'm doing. I just want to do all of it. So
I think as well, with what your business does, and we were talking about this before, because you've been coaching us, right? And it's the fact that every single type of business, if it wants to succeed in some capacity, needs to have content on social media.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It pretty much.
Yeah.
And I think what I'm learning through you a lot is really, really interesting. It's that, like, how important that content is and what that content is doing. And like you said, you get to collaborate with people and work with people, or a business can go, content? What is content? And you can create it for them. I would like one single content, please. I'll have one content a day for the next 2 weeks. But it's like, for people who are listening, who are a bit like, I don't really understand what she's talking about.
Mm.
It's like, I'm starting to realise just how important your job is.
Yeah.
And how much businesses need it.
Yeah.
It's so important.
And how there's blurred lines as well. So this is a thing that if any other people that work in social media are listening right now, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. So marketing and sales are not the same thing. They are confused so many times. I've had things before, which is like, I get asked, how many tickets have we sold? Well, I don't fucking know. Like,
that's not my job.
That is not my job. Yeah. It's okay, I advertise, I promote it, I do the content all on it. I watch the insights. That is my job. I look at the, you know, how many views and how many and conversions. Brilliant. Conversions into sales from my work. Excellent. That is what I want. That's the goal of having me. But that is not my job. If you've got a shit thing that you're selling, I can roll it in glitter, but I can't sell it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You can make it...
You can only sell it to people who like shit rolled in glitter.
I can make anything...
I'm sure there's a market there.
Yeah.
I like shit rolled in glitter.
I can make anything look good, but if the concept doesn't work for a lot of people, you know, I'll give ideas and I'll say, you know, this isn't, you know, in my mind, it doesn't really work, or I give people ideas, but if it's not taken on board, then, you know, what can I do? I make it look as good as possible, and that's my job.
It's more likely that tickets will be sold with your help.
Yes.
But you're not in charge of selling the tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Like, if you've got, like, so if it is an event and you've got a DJ that just cannot mix for his life.
Were you at Queen of Braggart? Not many of Is that what you're talking
about? It's like, that's, yeah, but it's like, I cannot control him and I cannot control you getting him. Yeah, choosing him. That's not my job.
You can't choose how much drinks cost. You can't choose how much things are being sold for. You can't choose the location or the time or anything like that. You're just there to promote what they have.
Yeah. I've been in sales roles. I've been a business development manager and I've had businesses. So yeah, sales is always kind of, you know, I understand it, and that's why I think I'm good at marketing as well in my own business. But I went into marketing because I love marketing more than sales. And it's not the same.
Well, that's that neatly ties us into the next question, Sinead, right?
Yeah, so what's your journey to becoming an entrepreneur? So not how did you get to where you are
just
now?
Just an entrepreneur, please. Definitely not an entrepreneur.
So, like, try and give us a potted history so we're not here for the next 6 weeks.
Yeah. Bullet points.
Yeah, okay.
One of those timelines you see. When it's like a timeline of the whole world, but it's got, it's like dinosaurs, William Shakespeare, computers.
Jesus.
Like one of them.
I mean, yeah, I could go, a whole episode could be on this because my life, I could write a book, basically.
You're going to write a memoir, aren't you?
I could, yeah, why not?
I think you should.
One day. Okay, I am not an employable person.
I was born.
I was born.
And as soon as I was born, the first thing my parents said were, this girl is not going to be employable.
Here's a DSLR camera.
Yeah, here's a camera, no one will employ you. Welcome to the world.
Do you know what? It's not far off. I literally said to my dad once, I said, I think I want to go to uni. And he turned round and very much IT crowd quote here, it's not for you. It's not for you.
It's not for you.
And I was like, what? And then, you know, you kind of work it out that, and I think it's working it out and also accepting your weaknesses.
Yeah.
And honing in on your strengths. So I know what my strengths are.
Not being employed.
You know, I've been employed and I've hated all of it. I've learned lots of things from every job that I've had. My CV is as long as my arm because that's the thing. I just can't stay in one thing doing the same thing every single day. And also having to, you know, I'm under someone that I think is a twat. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, I can't do it. Yeah. I genuinely can't do it. So it was always kind of, I needed to have my own business. I had my own business, which was a cleaning company, which I started when my dad passed away, purely for coping mechanisms.
Cleaning is good for grief, isn't it?
Yeah. It is.
My house has never been more spotless than when there's been a death in the family. The rest of the time,
that's it.
Shit.
That's it. So I was cleaning multiple houses every single day. I had a baby, an actual newborn. So my youngest was 3 months old when my dad passed away. Luna was 2. And I bought a puppy the same year. So all of that, and then started a cleaning company. You know, great times. So I started doing that and it got really, really successful really quickly. Got burnout like mad.
What were you cleaning? Was it like, were you cleaning houses or businesses?
So it started houses and then it got into Airbnbs and then it kind of just snowballed from there really. And it was hiring staff, and that was the bit where it was that nobody wants to be a cleaner. Do you know what I mean? It's not a desirable job. It's a in-between job.
The only thing that you could have done is just gone around like murdering people's family members.
I mean,
to give them the motivation to go and clean.
Right. I don't know where you were going with that.
I did not know where you were going with that at all.
I was like, what, rob their house?
No one cleans like someone who's had a death in the family.
With you now. Yeah. Yeah. No, but it was really hard. The turnover of staff. I had staff literally saying that they, you know, because they had to take my equipment, expensive Hoovers and everything, and saying, I quit, but if you don't pay me today, not on their payday, then you're not getting your equipment. And I was just what is going on right now? Like,
so how do you go from cleaning company to take on media?
To this? Yeah, so I sold my business to a company that I got hired as a business development manager. So heavily in sales. That didn't work because they were twats. And then went into account management, and they were very much on marketing. And I kept getting involved with the marketing, and they were very much like, that is not your job. And I was like, oh, I love this. I love it. And then furlough, lockdown,
bang,
COVID. Yeah, the big C, another big C. So, you know, that was shit, and it completely threw my life 180'd upside down. I was in bed for 4 months, completely depressed, very poorly, like really poorly. Never want to go back there again. It was awful. And when I came out of it, thanks to my wonderful husband, who just cared me back to health, I was like, what am I going to do now? You know, it was one of them. And my father-in-law is really into photography, and he gets like the most amazing cameras because it's his hobby, and, you know, he's a bloke and loves gadgets. So he gets like, you know, and he got a brand new camera, and he was like, oh, I know you love photography, and you know you need a bit of a creative outlet. Have this.
So what? He just gave you the camera.
He just gave me his old one.
Oh wow!
And that was it, really. It just kind of, yeah, that was the catalyst.
That was the light of the fire.
Yes, it was. Love yeah, it. Yeah. So I was doing Wano for a bit, which was my during COVID. It was supporting independent businesses. By doing marketing for them, so like reels and, you know, going to try out food, a bit of an influencer type thing, and that's where I kind of like practiced my skill, started, you know, being really creative with it, and also building contacts, businesses in Leicester, and then it just, yeah, it went from there into, oh, hang on, I think I can make money from this. So yeah, it switched. And now, 3 years later, Take On Media is pretty, yeah, it's going really well. So, yeah, buzzing.
Amazing.
About it.
Okay.
Yeah, trying to shorten it down, but yeah, bit of a.
I mean, that was like born. Cleaning,
born,
given camera.
Unemployable.
Yeah.
Cleaning.
Someone threatens you with a Hoover, got a camera, bosh.
Bosh. Bish, bash, bosh.
Bish, bash, bosh.
Yeah.
So what is the best and worst part of you and your running your own business?
Of me?
No, just your...
Bit personal.
What's the worst thing about you, Connie? What's the best and worst thing about being an entrepreneur, having your own business?
So the best thing about my actual business is what I've probably already mentioned, the variety of things. But that's because I am very free-going. And I love variety. I don't just stick in a box.
You're choosing to say yes to different things, aren't you?
Katie's helping me with this because I'm working on my boundaries, and she's she's very good at boundaries. So she's helping a lot with being my life coach. In these things, she says I'm too nice, which, you know, is a compliment and also not at the same time. So the best thing about my business is definitely the variety, and it's also my social life, because I meet so many different people all the time, and I don't have time for anybody else, and I don't really have any friends anymore, to be honest, just from being so busy.
Hey now.
What are we?
I mean,
Connie.
Yeah.
Hey.
I take that back.
Take it back, Connie.
Yeah, but you're friends that I've met through my business. And do you know, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
my business has actually created my life now.
Yeah, me too. I agree.
Yeah.
That's happened to me too.
And it's a beautiful thing. I'm so grateful for it. But yeah, actual friends from school or before business or whatever. My best friend lives two doors down from me. There is one house in the middle of us, and we don't see each other.
Yeah.
You know, and it's always, oh, just come round whenever, but we don't.
Yeah,
you know,
of course,
it's just one of those. But I am going out all the time, and I'm meeting loads of people, and I work events, and I'm getting that social interaction that we all need. And yeah, so best thing is just the variety, and, you know, it's very free flowing, and I feel freedom from having Take On Media.
I bet you feel the same as me. I remember last year I did Midlands Makers Christmas market, and I took a friend with me to help out because I had to go to another market, so she had to help me pack up, and she couldn't believe how many people I knew. She was like, you know everyone, Rosie.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I don't. She was like, no, you know everyone. I'm like, but that's because I'm out here all the time. Just, she was like, how do you know all these people?
Yeah.
Because I'm here all the time. And you're the same. It's like you doing the last Fridays. It's like, you can't walk through LCB Depot without saying hi to at least 10 people.
Yeah.
And so that is why being that sort of business and running it for yourself means that it is your social life.
Yeah.
Because you're having to do that all of the time. That can be draining, though.
Yeah.
That can be hard.
Last Friday Club, hire me for an hour. And it is a fast pace. Like, there's like 7 food vendors there. I have to get around all of them. Plus, there's music going on, and sometimes there's
Rosie
a market.
Rosie doing glam bots.
Yeah.
Rosie sometimes being like, take videos of me and only me.
So there's so much that I have to do in 1 hour. But also, like you said, I know so many people there. So I end up being there for 3 hours probably. Yeah, yeah. But I do love that job.
Yes. Yeah. And what's the worst bit?
That's actually hard. I'm actually struggling with that. Worst bit is the business stuff.
Yes, it's all the bullshit that we didn't want to have a real job for, right?
The stupid bureaucracy, admin.
Look, I'm in the arts. It's not. I hate numbers. If people start talking to me about numbers, my brain literally just like white noise it. It's like, I can't take it in.
Why on earth would you, the government... Well, I know exactly why, because you hate us, but why would you, the government, require creative people like ourselves to do the most difficult form filling of all in the form of a tax return every year when it's literally the last thing that we want to do?
Yeah.
And the reason that they put a date on it that you have to do it by is so they can fine all these fucking artists who don't know how to do a tax return because we're too busy painting or making videos. And like, oh, you didn't fill in your tax return, you prick. You owe us money now. It's not fair.
It's not.
Actually.
No.
It's not fair.
It's discrimination is what it is.
It's discrimination against people in the arts.
With our creative brains.
We can't do it. Just... I don't know how much gross. I don't know. Still don't know the difference between gross and net. Every time I do a tax return, I'm like, Dave, what's the difference between gross and net? And he's like, oh, are you kidding me? I couldn't tell you now. I couldn't tell you.
I think I still would have to Google it, yeah.
Yeah.
Every year.
Every single year.
Just a bit dyslexic with that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
it just
too,
doesn't
mate.
Come naturally,
me
and
too.
I hate it. It's the bane of my life, so, yeah.
And how do you think having the business affects your parenting?
Oh, it does affect it. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to say it's all, you know, coming up roses. It has issues. I get mum guilt all the time. And I really struggle with that. And my husband's really supportive and says, like, you know, but you're doing this and it's for this. But I kind of have this motto where, you know, my dad died at 47 and I was 23 and I absolutely loved the bones of him. And it was a real wake-up call. And ever since then, it's been, you know, life is so short and you don't know when it's going to end. And I'm one of these that, like, you know, if you were a millionaire on your deathbed, who have you got around you? And are they just yes people? Probably. Mm-hmm. But when you die, you've got none of that. And it's all about experiences and love and people. So hanging out with my kids and my family is basically any time that I have. And this is why people are like, oh, why don't we go out? And I'm like, mate, if I've got a night, I'm with my family because I feel like I don't see them enough.
Yeah, me too. Mm. I feel like that.
Even though I work from home majority of the time editing and they come home from school and they give me a hug, you know, that's lovely that I'm, you know, blessed to have that kind of interaction. But still, it's very much like, right, you've got to go now because I do actually have work to do.
It's the, mummy, can you play with me? No, I can't.
No.
It's like you're present, but you're kind of disengaged.
Yeah.
I really struggle with that.
And that's hard, isn't it? It's like, Johnny says to me, well, you know, parents work 9 to 5 and some kids have to stay in after school clubs and we don't have that and they're really lucky. And it's like, yeah, but I'm also not there at the same time. So it's difficult. But at the same time, Luna, you know, came to one of my events. She had that. She danced with a fire breather person. You know, they've had experiences, which has been great with my job.
Yeah.
And they've watched me. And Luna is now a video editor. She absolutely loves CapCut. And, and you know, I help her. And I help her with that. But yeah, for me, it's a me problem.
Yes,
where,
of course.
You know, it's the parenting, mum guilt.
And I do always kind of, because I feel exactly, like literally word for word. That's my genuine thing that I worry about all the time. But what I have to remember is, and it's actually very annoyingly, and I hate to do this, guys, I really, really, really very loathsome, but it was actually Rob Beckett on another quite popular parenting podcast. So sorry to have to mention that, but he said on it that he never, when he goes to work, he never acts like he's sad about going to work. So he's never like, oh, sorry, girls, I've got to go to work, because he doesn't want his children thinking that he hates his job. And it's like
that's
okay,
easy to do when you're a comedian and you earn loads of money.
Of course. But the point is, it's like I don't want my children growing up thinking that when they get a job, it has to be something that they really hate.
Yeah.
It's just something you have to do.
Yeah.
I want them to know that it's something you can enjoy and love. And so I always remember that, and I just think, look, I'm giving myself a hard time about how present I am, but at least they can see me doing the thing that I truly
that
love.
That you enjoy.
And that I'm passionate
yeah, you're
about.
Setting a really good example
yeah.
for them.
And despite
yeah.
the fact that I don't want to play Uno with them for the 17th time, because I've actually got quite a lot of stuff to do, like painting something. I think that's the other thing as well, especially when you're in a creative business, is that often it can just seem like you're just having fun. And some we've been conditioned to feel sad about that. We've been conditioned for that to be a bad thing. Oh, I'm doing a thing that I'm painting some shit because I love doing it and it's really, really fun, and then I'm going to sell it. How fun is that? Oh, and it's really exciting. And it's like, and you feel guilty about that because you're like, you should be doing
grafting.
Something awful
yeah.
and horrible to earn your money.
Yeah.
You should be down the mines.
You should be downed pit. How dare you tell your children you're not going to play with them because you're painting a pot. You know,
no,
like it's that.
It's true. It is true. I grew up, you know, noughties. It was very much like, you need to do this, and I wasn't allowed to sit down. It was like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
what are you doing?
Yeah.
You not
yeah.
got something to do. It
yeah.
was one of them. So yeah, it was weird going through the motions of, actually, I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah.
You know?
And that, I think that's setting a better example to our children
yeah, no,
as well. And not just that, but in a kind of, like you say, we were taught to sort of graft and work really, really hard, and actually we're still learning. We're having to unlearn all of that. And be like, you come first. Your wellness comes first.
I've done a lot of... Yeah, it's done a lot of unlearning, and
yeah.
I feel reborn. So, yeah, I know a lot about that.
What's your ultimate goal?
Oh, ultimate?
Ultimate.
Good God. I don't really know. I've got goals, but not kind of like, I'm a bit of a dreamer. I put these things and I go, oh, that's silly. And Johnny goes, no, you know. Put it down on your whiteboard. It's something to work towards.
What's a silly one? You think silly.
Okay, my silly one is being international and having little bases of photographers, videographers, you know, working for big fashion brands and, you know, doing social media for touring with musicians and, you know, being really arty and being successful, having multiple clients in the arts, basically. Mm. That is the ultimate goal for me personally in my business. But I'm very much free flowing. And I think coming into this business, I decided that. I was like, do you know what? If it happens, it happens. I'm going to grab every opportunity that I can, but I'm not going to put pressure on myself for once.
You want to kind of let it grow organically.
Yeah, for once. I mean, don't get me wrong. I do cold call or cold email sometimes, because I am very much a grab it by the horn, you know, if there's an opportunity I can have.
So sorry, but that's just reminded me of the time when in a work meeting I was like, yeah, so I really think we should grab the bull by the balls on this. But actually the saying
by
is
the horns.
Grab the bull by the horns.
Was it like tumbleweed moment?
My boss was like, I think you mean grab the bull by the horns, Sinead. And
oh,
I was
God.
Like
yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
I just own it.
Sorry.
I just own it and be like, no.
But really, I think grab the ball by the balls is a better phrase.
Also fine. Yeah, also fine.
It rolls off the tongue.
It's more alliterative.
Yeah,
yeah.
It is.
Big balls as well.
Yeah,
big
we start saying that.
Balls.
Let's start saying that all the time.
Let's grab the ball by the balls.
Let's deep fake it.
Yeah.
It could be one of those, what's it called? Is it the Da Vinci? No.
The Da Vinci
No, no, no. What's it called where it's like a thing where people have like whole nations have misremembered something?
The Mandela Effect.
That's one. Thank you. Not
well done, Sinead.
Da Vinci. What am I on about?
We love Sinead's brain.
Mandela
it's
Effect.
Brilliant.
That one.
So
that
many
one.
Facts.
So, in terms of like parenting, What are the advantages and disadvantages of being your own boss compared to having a boss? And you kind of have like addressed this in other questions.
I think I have already addressed that. It is very much, I am a cheerleader in every way possible. And I am, like Rosie was saying, with the examples of saying, you know, do set your own, you know, be in the arts and show your kids. And I am, I say I've got mum guilt, but at the same time, I know I'm a great mum. So,
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
You know, I am very much a motivator. I'm a feminist. I've got two girls and I'm bringing them up to be spicy, fiery, sassy, brilliant girls. And I love that. I love watching them blossom into these confident girls. And yeah, I think they do see me having my own business as really cool. They tell their friends at school what I do. And obviously all their friends is like, who's that like really tall girl that wears all colours and has crazy hair? Yeah, that's my mum. That's my mum, you know.
Aww.
It's one of those. So
I wish my kids felt like that about me.
Moving on.
It might change. We'll see.
Okay, so what's your advice for someone starting out?
A business generally.
Yeah, their own business. Being
a parent or just anyone?
Both, maybe both. So starting out your own business in general, you could be a 20-year-old boy or, and then the other
good
advice,
luck.
starting a business as a parent, as a mum.
So have goals. Goals are always important to work towards, even if they're silly, like being international or, you know, it's not silly. Put it on the whiteboard. It's something that you can look at every day. But have closer, more realistic goals to work towards. It will help you in every aspect of your business. Marketing, say, you know, you've got something that you want. So everything should kind of lead to that. That is your why. So we were having a discussion about you making a reel and you were kind of like, but I realised I'm not really showing why.
Yeah, what's the point? What is the point of this reel?
It's not leading to anything really. Yeah. And I think as a creative, that's hard because when you enjoy something, you just go with it and you enjoy it. And I'm all for that. I think that's great. And you can always change it up and put something in the caption or, you know, that kind of thing that kind of points to your goals ultimately. Set them early on. Think about it. It might change. And that's the beauty of it as well. I wouldn't be so pressured into, you know, I need those goals and anything else is a no. It's kind of like, if it feels right, it's probably right.
Yeah.
Hmm. You know?
That is the joy of having your own business, isn't it? Is that you can change your goals.
Yeah. And don't be, I still do this, but Katie is teaching me, don't be such a yes person.
Oh,
and
good God. Can Katie teach me? Jesus Christ.
We all need a Katie. She's great.
Katie, can you please tell me how to say no, please? For the love of God.
Do you know what? She taught me, she basically said, if they don't want it, they don't want it. And if they do want it,
they'll get it.
They'll get it.
Yeah, you're so right.
They'll pay for it.
Yeah.
If somebody comes up to you and says, I want this, don't try and upsell them. I mean, this is my sales thing as well, isn't it? It's like, I'm trying to upsell them all the time. But no, it's going to end badly. It's like trying to force someone to spend money that then they don't want to. They don't even need it. And that's something that I'm, you know, learning. Because my clients that I've got, Katie was like, the clients that you've got, how did you get them? And I was like, well, they came to me and said, I want this. And then they started paying for it.
Yeah.
And she was like, exactly. Yeah. So wait for those people.
Yeah.
You know?
So true.
And say no to the others that are time wasters. And you get a lot of that
business. I think this is a massive learning curve I'm having. And so I would also like to answer this question at this point.
Yeah.
Which is advice for people starting out is say yes to everything. Until you are, because the thing is, if you're if you're running your own business, you're relying on yourself to make money only. To live.
Mm.
So you have to say yes to everything, and you will probably hit burnout quite a number of times, and you'll get things wrong, and you'll say yes to the stupidest things for the lowest amount of money, and you'll feel stupid for it, but you've done it. And the great thing about doing that, I did that for maybe the first 4 years of my business.
Blimey.
And it really, really killed me. And I still do things now that I shouldn't say yes to.
Yeah.
But I just think now, I know, just from the way people ask me things on Instagram when they message me about, like, with queries, is that I have entrenched this idea to the general public that I say yes to things and I do things.
Mm.
I execute things. If someone asks me to do something and I say yes, I will do it. And so now people know they can rely on me. But it's now that that means that now I can start saying no to things.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but this just isn't going to work.
Yeah.
I don't have the time to do this.
Mm.
And it's knowing when that point is, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, when the time is right for that. Because
you need to go, oh, actually, yeah, no, I don't have time.
Yeah.
I would like to have a weekend with my children, thanks.
Yeah. I think the fact that I did 1-8, which was all free marketing for businesses to support them at that time, and I was, you know, getting free food or whatever, I think that was probably my yes time. So I've probably cut it shorter with Take On Media. I mean, I'm lucky that it's been such a success and I've got Katie to help me.
Yeah.
Now is my time to be, you know, a bit more, you know.
That's probably one of the other good bits of advice then. Obviously, like, we're in a different position. You're in a position to employ Katie to sort of run this business with you, right?
Mm.
I am not in that position, nor do I want to be in that position to have someone working with me in that sort of capacity. But I suppose maybe that is a good piece of advice, which is, even if you're not employing someone, even if you're not paying them, make sure you have a respected person that you really care about to remind you that you're allowed to say no.
Yeah.
Just make sure you voice that to people that you care about. Please tell me when I should say no to things.
Yeah. Because even the most, you know...
Because you don't see it yourself, do you?
No. And people think, you know, she's dead confident. She, you know, she's a strong woman. And I am. But we all have our moments. And I'm probably a bit too nice with some things because I love interaction and helping people. It's only gonna kind of, like you say, people start to take the piss basically, and it's only bad for you at that point.
Yeah.
You know, it can make you poorly, and that's not. But we all have a starting point. We all need the free work and to work yourself out where you're gonna navigate your business basically.
Next question.
What is your proudest moment? And this is both in like a professional capacity and a parenting capacity.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so parenting capacity. I always said when I was pregnant with my first daughter, I said the most important thing to me is if my child can be confident.
Yeah.
That's a big tick. If I've done that, if I've helped them be confident and happy in themselves, then I've won in parenting. And my daughter turned around to me, you know, I say like, oh, I love your hair today, stuff like that. And she goes, I know, it's gorgeous. And I'm like,
yes.
And I just hope that it, you know, once those hormones kick in and the teen stuff kicks in, I just hope that that continues. But that is my proudest parent moment.
That's lovely.
That is lovely.
That's a great one.
Because
that's an ongoing one as well, because I was thinking about how I would answer that and I couldn't answer it because it's not a single moment. But that is because it's an ongoing thing where you see those glimmers of confidence.
I see it.
So important to instill confidence, specifically in little girls, because
the
world is just ready and waiting to rip that away from them.
Of course it is.
So the more you build that into like the foundations of who they are as a person, the better they're going to be moving forward in the world.
And I think because me as a child, I was so confident, and then it was ripped away from me. Started getting really, you know, horribly bullied at schools, and every school, every year was a different bully. And my home life wasn't, my mum was just not a confidence builder. She wasn't the nicest parent. And I had it ripped away, and I was just such a, you know, I really struggled as a child. And I do inner child work, and I think, oh, poor you, you know, I feel sorry for her.
What a shame after having such confidence and blossoming and being,
And I think because I've had that experience, that's made me a better parent, I think, to be that for them, because I know how important it is. Business-wise, God, I think, you know, when I got the email to work for Last Friday Club, it's only a tiny, it's my least amount of money I make from a client. It is, but the work I've had from it, the opportunities I've had from the more business.
Yeah, I mean, it's become like a bit of an institution, hasn't it, in Leicester? Yeah. Like it's a known thing. It's really popular, and it's really not been going on for that long in the grand scheme of things.
Well, it hasn't. So it used to be ran by somebody else, and you're talking like over a decade ago, I think. And then they stopped, and then it's, you know, been taken over by Gray's, that's inside LCB all the time, and he kind of like took it on. But that job, when I got that email, I just thought, wow, like, that's amazing. That was such a compliment. And
the pictures that you take there are phenomenal as well. I always look through them. And even before I knew you and knew who you were, I would always look through the picture and I'd be like, and I would always think every time, like, that is someone who knows how to take pictures of people having fun.
Yeah.
And to look at those pictures and you can actually feel the amount of fun the people are having.
Yes.
In the photos, oh, I think is amazing.
I'm so glad you've said that, because that's basically what I wanted with events and everything. I think that's my art. You know how people say, like, oh, is photography an art? Well,
of course it fucking is.
Of course it is. But being an event photographer, it's kind of hard sometimes to be arty with it. But my art is getting the feeling coming through.
There is such a beauty in capturing people that aren't posing.
I think faces look better in motion. Yeah, I think, of course. Like, those pictures that you took of me and Rosie, every single picture where I think I look good is a picture where I'm like mid laugh.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that. They're my favourite. And do you know what? When I'm there, I'm loving it. And when I'm editing, I'm loving it. So the whole thing.
The whole process.
Yeah, that whole client, it was amazing getting that job. I thought, wow, out of all the photographers you could have picked, you picked me. And then having that job, like I say, least paid, but the most rewarding. I just absolutely love that. So that's probably, I mean, I've had some amazing opportunities, and one that's in the process at the moment, probably the most money or whatever that hopefully will happen. But out of sheer joy, I would say, Last Friday Club. So thank you very much to LCB and to Grey and the whole team.
Big shout out to LCB in general, just because it's the best, one of the best places in the
And James. And James.
Slap.
They do a cracking latte.
James,
I mean, what can you say?
And Paul and Grey, thank you. Thank you very much.
Also, thanks for letting me come and do markets there sometime. Sometimes. Thanks for letting me sell my stuff there.
Also, thank you for feeding me chips.
Thanks for feeding me chips. The chips are great. Thanks, LCB. You're wonderful. We love you so much.
Okay. LCB, who will definitely be listening to this podcast.
Yes. We'll tag them. They have a special mention there. They have a post
and everything. Yeah. Like they need it. They're honestly, what an institution. Love them. Okay, last but not least, sellers your business. But by the sellers your business, what I mean is, you've obviously spoken a lot about your business. I think people have probably got the hang of what you do. Mm. Maybe you could outline very quickly, like in a pinpoint, bullet points, what you do.
Give us
all the information that people can use to find you and give you their money.
Plug yourself.
Give us all your information. Email address, phone number, address.
Credit card number.
Anything you like. The people of Ohio would like to know where you live.
Okay, so I think you've worked out by now that I love people and I love brands and collaboration and making you feel like it's working and you look great, and having confidence in how things are going on social media. You do need it. Like, come on, let's get real. You need to have a good social media nowadays, and I really want to help you with it. I'm passionate. I talk about it all the bloody time. And I am confident as well that I can do that for you.
Me too. I can confidently say you're very good at it.
Thank you. It's an investment, not going to lie. You might not be ready to make that kind of investment, but you will be one day, hopefully. And eventually you will need it. And the quality and quantity, you know, there's all that that people wonder about, you know, quality of your content and your photos and videos and the quantity and amount of things that you post. I basically cover both of those aspects. So the quality is there with the work that I do, photography, videography, and just the way that I know how to run social media. And the quantity is, you know, you can just hand it over and I'll post for you. You just don't have to think about it, basically. You can be as involved or not involved as you like. You can just kind of sit back and know that it's all good, hun. Like, it's all good and it'll be great. So yeah, that's kind of probably my selling point is you're all good, hun. With me.
Yeah.
And how can people find you?
You can find me at Take On Media UK, and that is on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. And yeah, you can find my mobile on there. You can also find my email address on there.
But not her actual address.
But not my actual address. Although you know now that I live in Melton Mowbray, but don't bother.
I've got nothing worth stealing anyway.
So yeah, you can contact me on there. I love a WhatsApp. I love a voice note. So yeah,
we love a voice note.
We can concur.
Yeah, we love a voice note.
We love a voice note.
Yeah, love a voice note. Yeah, email not so much, but you know.
Whatever. DM. Slide into a DMs, mate.
Yeah, slide on in. Go on,
she
baby.
Loves it. I think at this point it would be a good time to say that Connie has and her wonderful company have been mentoring/coaching the Amateur Mill Society
in preparation for our relaunch.
Yeah,
which will have happened.
So I think it's a good time to say that any sort of content that we've been putting out, any photos, videos, things like that, have all been done through Connie, by Connie, and
with approval from Connie.
So it's like, if you like what you see when we relaunch and we're putting all our stuff out there, if you like all of that stuff when we relaunch
and you need someone to help you with social media,
you know that Connie has done that for us.
We've got your girl.
Yeah. Because I don't, you know, like, we do, obviously, we sort of tag you in the photos that you've taken and videos and stuff, but at least we've said it out loud while we've got you here. If people are sort of like interested and they're going, oh, this girl sounds interesting, maybe I do need it. And you also follow us on Instagram and you're like, I love all these videos they're putting out. Connie.
I'm behind it. I am, yeah.
And Katie, it was you two girls being absolutely fabulous. So.
It's been great working with you girls, and I think you're the kind of clients that I've mentioned about, you know, feeling lost and getting a bit stressed over it. And I'm hoping with my many voice notes of motivation and coaching you, that you feel a little bit, you know.
Well, you've given us answers to questions that we thought we didn't know the answer to. So things that we thought we didn't know what to do with, you've gone, no, it's this. And we've gone, oh yeah, fuck it, of course it is. You've really simplified things for us. Because I think that's one of the things you do when you do your own business is you overcomplicate things. So having you there to simplify and go, no, this is what you're about, don't forget that. And
yeah.
Going, oh, fuck, yeah.
Yeah.
But then also giving us, like, direction in what our goals are. By simplifying everything, it has given us direction.
Yeah.
Going, oh, yeah, of course that's what we're about. I think this is what we want to do.
I think that was a real pivotal moment with you guys, was when you were stressing and I took it back to basics and told you what you were all about.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, because I told Katie afterwards, because she didn't listen to all those voice notes.
I mean, nobody would. Who would,
even
really?
Though she's in the group chat, but she was like, I ain't got time for that.
That was like a whole day's worth of talking. No.
So I just said to her, Rosie said, and I'll always remember this, I'll take it to my grave. Rosie turned around and said, you know when someone gives you a shoulder rub and you feel like, you know, bliss after it? that's what Rosie said my voice note was like. And I will always remember that.
A shoulder rub for the brain.
Yeah. That's it.
It was like we were, because I think I used the example of being in like a wrestling, like boxing ring, right? And it's like we were in a boxing ring flailing about, like going mental with our fists, just hitting the air. And then we sat down, you gave us this shoulder rub that went, no, this is what you...
Yeah.
Go and find the man over there and punch him in the face. And then we were able to go, oh yeah, of course, there's the thing we need to punch.
Yeah.
We'd been punching the air for like weeks and weeks and weeks, and you'd gone, no, hit that thing.
It's over there. Over there, hun.
Here you go, here's your shoulder rub, and we've gone, punch in the face.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So, lovely metaphor.
When we invited you to come onto this podcast, we asked you to prepare for us a love and a loathe of the week. Would you like to share them with us now? Because I think we should start wrapping up.
Yes. So my love, I love this part of my job. I had a food photography job and I love food. Do you know what? There's not one. I can't even think of a dish, of an ingredient that
that Connie is now staring into the middle distance, and I know that she's got food dancing in front of her eyes.
I've not eaten yet today, and I'm ravenous.
Yeah, I'm really hungry. And like, looking at you, please don't describe the food. She's going to describe the food.
No, I'm not, because it's just, but honestly, chef's kiss.
Literally.
Yeah, this week I had the wonderful opportunity of shooting a full menu at one of my clients, which is Oasis Lounge by Malaya. Big up Narcis. She is a fantastic client. She's so supportive. I love her. Thank you so much. And this food, oh my gosh, the chef, amazing. I love food. My loathe is my sensitive tummy.
So your love is food and your loathe is also food.
Yeah.
Once it's past the mouth.
Past the lips.
Through the is it the sarcophagus?
Sarcophagus is what an Egyptian mummy was inside of.
Yeah. I realised as I said that's what that was. Yeah.
Once it goes down your sarcophagus.
Once again, Rosie can't say words properly.
Yeah.
What's
the saying? A moment on the lips is a lifetime for IBS.
That's going on a bloody t-shirt. Genius.
Can we have a frog with it eating a fly?
Yeah, okay.
Context, I love frogs, there we go, just get that
love
in.
Of the week is food. love of life
love of the life is frogs.
Yeah, love frogs, they are just stunning.
And hate the food in your sensitive tummy
Like, why do that to me?
I feel that. Am I being betrayed by your own body?
I feel like everything's so artificial now that the world has done it to me, you know. Lactose intolerant. Can't eat too much gluten, it's just how everyone's kind of going now, and I hate them for it, because I love eating all the cheese, all the cream, and all the bread.
Yeah, so, same.
You know,
if I could dip bread in cream and cheese, I would.
Love a fondue.
Oh, glorious.
Yeah, so that's my love and loathe. There you go.
Thanks, Connie. That's been wonderful. Sinead, have we got loves and loathes of the week?
We do. Do you want me to go first?
Go on then, what's your love of the week?
My love of the week is Miss Shonda Rhimes. So,
excuse me?
For anyone that doesn't know, Shonda Rhimes is an American showrunner famous for programs such as Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder, and
Miss Shonda Rhimes.
Sorry, have you been offered like a sponsorship deal?
Disclaimer, not sponsored. I started rewatching Scandal a few weeks ago. I work from home by myself most of the time, so I like to have something on in the background so I don't feel like I'm on my own.
Yeah, sure, that's fine.
So I started rewatching Scandal, and then that led me to watching for the first time Station 19, which is a firefighter based spin-off of Grey's Anatomy.
Wow.
And
that sounds fucking atrocious.
It's so good. I love anything with just unparalleled amounts of drama going on for absolutely no reason.
Is there sex?
Yes.
Good, I'll watch it.
Everyone in it, every single person in that show is unbelievably gorgeous.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
beautiful, beautiful people. They're all having sex with each other.
Brilliant.
There was this one episode that I watched where the one sexy firefighter was sleeping with the other sexy firefighter's sexy wife.
On
a camping trip, which
he was
the husband was also on.
Scandal.
Oh no, different show.
Different.
Oh, Scandal, also full of drama. Because it's the president of the United States and his like chief of staff, and he's doing
the front door.
He's doing absolutely zero running of the country because all he is doing is going down on Olivia Pope 24/7.
Wow!
I just love it. I love high drama.
You like
same.
High drama.
And Shonda Rhimes gives it to me.
Yeah. Okay.
And she's a showrunner for Bridgerton as well, and that's coming out again soon.
I do love Bridgerton.
And she is, I think, one of the best casters in the world.
Mm.
Everyone she casts is just implausibly gorgeous.
So you say she's a good casting person for, like, aesthetics?
Yeah, but also, like...
sex.
Yeah, for sex. But she's, like, picking the right people to play the right roles. Like, every single character she's ever cast in one of her shows, I'm like, that person is that character, that... they would never be anyone else. And she's like, she's a black woman and she was one of the first really successful black female showrunners.
Mm-hmm.
And she casts really diverse people in her shows and writes in really interesting storylines. So Grey's Anatomy had like a whole COVID plot line, and then Station 19 has had like a whole Black Lives Matter plot line.
I mean, the whole Bridgerton with the Black Queen and all of that. I mean, yeah, that hooked me from the first episode. I just thought, yes.
Yeah.
Because obviously...
she's wonderful.
Genius.
Yeah, it is genius. It's brilliant.
Why not? This is really funny because my love of the week was going to be The Sunshine, but we covered it at the beginning because I forgot that everybody is feeling about 300 million times better than they usually do because the sun's out. So I'm not going to choose my love as the sun because we all know that Rose is a lizard and the sun makes her very happy.
Yeah.
So my love of the week is very funny because I hate high drama. I hate it. I hate Grey's Anatomy type stuff. So what's really funny is that the love of the week that I chose in my head is actually for the new series that's come out, Shard Lake, which is...
I love it. It's
so
great.
Shard Lake is like a historical fictional detective series.
Oh, okay.
And it's based in Tudor Britain, and it's like a detective, essentially a detective to the king. So it's all about, like, you know, the abolishment of Catholicism and all that sort of stuff and all those kind of things.
The dissolution of the monasteries.
Dissolution of the monasteries, that one, sorry.
My personal Roman Empire.
Sorry, Ireland. and it's about, like, this detective who is... And what's great about this guy is that he's got, like, spina bifida. So he's, you know...
Fucked.
Yeah, he's very, very, very disabled. And they've cast someone who is, you know...
Actually
disabled.
Is he actually disabled?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realise that.
That changes things, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Because I thought that he was... I thought that they'd, like, edited him or done, like...
Yeah, but I find that
movie
offensive
magic to make him look
a
like
bit.
That.
Like, you know, Forrest Gump. I find that offensive.
That's not stood the test of time, has it?
It Forrest hasn't. Gump? And
it
a
really
lot
hasn't.
Of things haven't, have they really? But
no.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think so the reason that I find it funny that yours is this particular style of programming. And Shard Lake is it's obviously very dramatic.
I was gonna say, it still sounds...
But it's kind of the opposite in the sense that it's the way that the British do it, isn't it? It's the very subtle, we're going to make it dramatic by making the colours really beautiful and having lots of mist and trees.
Mm.
And it's a lot more subtle. It's like unspoken. It's looks. It's kind of the way people like clonk through a monastery and the echoing of the feet and all that stuff.
Okay.
I fucking love historical fiction. And I didn't realise that the books... Like, I'm going to read all the fucking books now, because now I've watched this series. It's amazing.
Mm.
I love it. I love it. End of that.
End of love.
End of... Yes. What's your loathe of the week, Sinead?
My loathe of the week is men in charge of anything.
Yeah.
So that covers Rishi Sunak.
Yes.
Ugh.
Yeah, it covers any man in charge of... anything. Because they are almost universally fucking useless. Yeah.
It's really hard to get answers out of people.
It really is.
That are men in charge of stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm.
It's really hard to get any kind of decision, and also the kind of taking on board people's opinions. I mean, I'm putting this towards Rishi Sunak, I think.
Yeah.
You know, like taking on board a whole nation's feelings on things and then just going,
actually, I'll do what I want.
Yeah.
No, actually.
But how does that benefit me? How does that get me money?
How does that get me more billions of pounds?
Yeah.
I would like another billion, please. So no, general public. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I'm here for that.
Yeah,
I'm
very same. Much here for that. Yeah.
Like, I honestly, I think about it quite often, is how we have managed to develop a patriarchy where men are universally fucking useless.
I know.
I mean, you know what people are going to say, don't you? They're going to say, oh, what about when Maggie Thatcher or Theresa May, you know, they're going to turn around.
They were both
fundamentally rotted to the core.
I don't think you could categorise them as female.
I don't think they were basically demons. I don't think you could categorise them as human.
Human, no.
Have you ever seen Theresa May walk?
I think you think about Maggie Thatcher and you start to go, oh, those lizard conspiracies are sounding a bit fruity, aren't they?
Yes.
Have you ever seen a wig?
I've seen a lizard in a wig before.
I've seen a lizard in a wig.
She actually looks like a lizard. And Theresa May does.
Yeah.
Yeah, lizard ladies. It's
definitely got
some. Yeah. Scary.
But yeah, I think women should just be in charge of everything.
Yeah.
Take all the important jobs from men.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're just more strategic, aren't we? If you go back to caveman times, which obviously that's where we were once upon a time, we've been given different brains. They were purely there for their muscle. And, you know, as much as I hate to admit it, I hate the fact that there's women's teams, men's teams, but they have to be a thing because men can gain more muscle than us.
They have more testosterone, it's just
one of those things. Yeah. But we were the gatherers and we looked after the whole community because we have got that brain. We've just got strategic brains to work together.
We were making sure everyone survives.
Yes.
We grew the human mind. You know what we did it through? The power of yap.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Did you know?
Gossip is a fundamental part of why humans are human. Gossiping is
evolutionary. It's a survival skill because if you didn't gossip with each other, then you would eat the berries that were
poisonous,
moldy because no one had told you not to.
Yeah.
So it's literally a survival. Like, gossiping is why we are all here.
And that's why I'm so good at
life. That's another t-shirt that we need, Rosie. Yapping is a survival skill.
Yapping is a survival skill.
Note all of these down, guys.
We've got so many great t-shirt designs. Mummy is going to have to do loads more screen printing.
Put a frog on it.
Get a frog on it. I need a frog. Okay. I will finish with my loathe of the week, which is not as deep as yours. My loathe of the week is the competitive nature of colouring in. So last night, it was really wholesome because all four of us sat on the sofa and got all the colouring in books out and did colouring in.
That's really cute.
But then what came about was me telling Dave...
Your colouring is shit.
No, I didn't, and you'll find out why. But the first thing so we were colouring in, and I was like, you know, Dave, every time I do colouring in, I remember I'm transported back to when I was about 8 years old. And my cousin forced me to let her colour in one of my pages from my Little Mermaid colouring in book. And she went out of the lines in some of the red hair. And I was so furious. I didn't outwardly say anything because I was, you know, conditioned not to do things like that.
Yeah.
So I didn't say anything. But every time I pick up a pen to colour in a colouring book, I am transported back to that time. And
trauma.
So angry that I was forced to let her colour in that aerial hair and she fucked it.
Yeah.
And I didn't want the thought of people looking through my colouring in book and thinking that I was capable of such shit colouring in.
You should have just put.
So angry.
You should have just.
By her. Not by me.
This was not by me.
Yeah. So I always think about that every time. So I was like, I'm thinking about it now.
Yeah.
And he was like, how are you with the girls colouring in? Because they're not as good as you. And I was like, no, that doesn't bother me at all because it's different. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
they're colouring in their own colouring in.
They've got their own.
But then Dave said it's funny because I'm always transported back to a time when I was colouring in a colouring book when I was about same age, maybe 8 or 9, and his cousin was colouring in with him, and his cousin was like a toddler, like 3 or something, and the cousin's dad came over and said to the cousin, oh, that's fantastic colouring in, absolutely perfect, mate, well done. And Dave inwardly went, that means my colouring is shit because I wasn't complimented. I wish I'd have tried harder. And he holds all of that trauma from feeling like he was not, like he was worse than a 3-year-old at colouring in.
Oh,
and he was like, that's what I think about.
Such a cancer.
And I was like, I can't believe that all we're doing is sitting and colouring in with our kids and we're holding on to all of that shit.
Yeah. That's your inner child work that you need to do.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
So good for your soul on like how to let things like that go.
And actually one of those things, I think I have been doing that naturally because like Ramona was saying, are you going to let Layla colour in yours? Because I have a colouring in book, so I was like doing mine. And she was like, are you going to let Layla scribble on yours? And I was like, yeah, she can help because it'll make it better. She's like, but she can't colour in the lines. And I was like, that's okay.
Yeah,
and that was me sort of saying it's okay that she went outside the lines. It's totally fine. No one cares. It's fine. It's totally fine. But yeah, I really like colouring in. Okay, thanks everyone.
Thanks for listening. We've been the Amateur MILF Society. Follow us on Instagram at Amateur MILF Society. That's really the only thing we use at the minute.
Also follow this guy.
Follow Connie.
This guy
at Comedia UK on Instagram and TikTok. And all the things.
Also, use her business and give her loads of money, please.
Yes, please. Yeah. I have two children.
You've been such a good guest, mate. You've been amazing.
Thank you so much for coming on. It's
been wonderful. Thank you for having me. I've loved it.
That's been us.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Now what do we do?
I think.